today on Real Radio.
We love to talk about the grace of God here and God's forgiveness and God's love. But you know what? By nature of the Bible, which you go verse by verse through, we got to talk about some hell today and what it's all about. And you might say, well, man, I knew he was red, wearing a red shirt for something there. But I'm not going to water it down. There's just no way.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called When God Rewards, is in the book of 2 Thessalonians, talking about chapter 1, verses 5 through 12. The Apostle Paul wrote his second letter to the Thessalonian church because of his deep concern for their hardships, and he wanted to encourage them. This young church needed the grace and the peace in their lives that only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. They continually faced persecution, so Paul wanted to remind them that difficulties are a part of their journey as a Christian. But the time will come when Jesus will be glorified and they will be forever with the Lord. Today, Pastor Jack reminds us that God is holy. He will judge those who do not receive Christ. He will repay evil with destruction. But God is also loving, and He desires for all of us to have eternal life. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You grab your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Chapter 1, excuse me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we'll end the chapter this morning in what is a message entitled, When God Rewards. And you might say, well, that sounds good to me, when God rewards. Let's have that happen. And, well, you need to understand something, that as we read through this, God is going to reward. In fact, as we read this morning in Psalm 73, the psalm begins in verse 1, God is good. That is true. This morning, listen, God's good. He's always been good. But this morning, we hope in the next few moments together, we are able to reconcile and come to some conclusions and maybe sweep out some strange understandings that we have concerning God. And I want you to listen carefully because the topic, the text that we're looking at is rather an unlikely place, I think, to maybe get God's goodness out of. And I want to tell you right now, I prayerfully come before you this morning. It's an interesting study. There's no way around it. Paul is going to be talking about those who resist and continue to resist Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and as God and all. And not only that, but begin to abuse and to come against God's people through persecution. It's something that has always happened. It's always going to happen until the Lord comes back and takes His own. And so we come to a topic this morning that if you're visiting for the first time, do not show me your hands. I don't want to know who you are today visiting for the first time. Because I want to be able to say exactly what God's put on my heart to say. And if you're like new and you're like, oh, what's going on here? I can't believe this guy is like fire and brimstone. Listen, it's the text that we're at today. We love to talk about the grace of God here and God's forgiveness and God's love. But you know what? By nature of the Bible, which you go verse by verse through, we got to talk about some hell today and what it's all about. And you might say, well, man, I knew he was red, wearing a red shirt for something there. But I'm not going to water it down. There's just no way. Not going to do it. Just kind of sounds like George Bush there, huh? Not going to do it? Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. No, I'm not going to water down the word. So I want you to listen carefully. I'm using a little bit of humor to kind of loosen you up so I can come in right on you and tell you that Jesus Christ spoke about hell more than any other biblical character. And listen to this, the reason why he did is not because he's mean and he wants to have you stay out. He's loving and he wants to make sure you get in. And it's very important. We're going to look through this scripture right now. We'll come back and dissect it as we go through. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 5 this morning. Paul says to that church there, he says, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus might be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Like some kids do, Johnny and Mikey were on their way home from school, little guys, and they get into the things that little guys are kind of prone to get into, and all of us guys, men, will get this. Johnny goes over to Mikey and he says, "You know what? My dog is bigger than your dog." And little Mikey said, "Well, I think my dog's bigger than your dog." So they kind of go at it for a little bit. And then there's a little bit of silence. And then the next thing that comes up is, "My mommy's prettier than your mommy." And so Mikey's got to respond. "Well, no, my mommy's prettier than your mommy." And they kind of got to go at it a little bit. And then Johnny comes back and he says, "You know what? We're richer than you." And don't you hate when the kids used to lay that on you? Because they usually were richer than you. That was a bummer. But, you know, little Mikey, he comes back, and they're arguing back and forth, and then Johnny, for the kill, right, guys? You remember this? Johnny comes in and says, "I bet my dad can beat up your dad." Remember that one? It's like, "Oh, no. Bet my dad could beat up your dad." And Mikey didn't say anything back. He's just kind of quiet, kind of looking around, fishing around. Then he comes back, and he says, "Well, that's nothing." Mikey does. He says, "Well, that's nothing to Johnny. It's nothing. My mama can beat up my daddy," he said. And you get into these relationships, worldly, earthly relationships. It's, "Man, you do me wrong, I'm going to get you, man." And that's the way the world thinks. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. It's called revenge. God says in the Bible, "Vengeance is mine, I shall repay." Notice he says, "Vengeance is mine." He doesn't say, "Revenge is mine." God doesn't say, "Where is that little slime ball? Let me roll him up into a little critter and throw him out into the..." No, God doesn't do that. Sometimes we have said, "Oh, God, that guy's really on me, and I'm going to lose my job if he keeps doing that. And Lord, if you just kind of like get him sick, you know, like really sick." And in Jesus' name, of course. God doesn't do that. He's not like that. He's not like us, I'm glad to say. But God, who is God, he is all loving. It's true. The Bible says God is love, but it also says that God is light. The Bible also says that God is holy. And for God to be holy, he has to be just. For God to be just, he has to be fair. For God to be fair, he has to be good. And there's only one good, Jesus says, and that is God. The Bible says concerning us, "There are none that doeth good, no, not one." I know you're having a pretty good day today, but the Bible says that none of us do any good. But before you rush those big brown doors out back here, just hang on. And listen to what the Lord has to say to us this morning. Because God is holy and God is love, he has got to reconcile, which is no problem for the eternal God, judgment against evil, but he also loves. So how does he reconcile all this? To show you how much God loves, and I'm going to do a little PR for God, though he does not need it. He does not need my help. A lot of people running around today saying, "Oh, God is not loving, and God is a fiery God, and we just read it today, and it's fire, and it's not good." Listen, that's not true. You know, God absolutely loves Charlie Manson. God loves Charlie Manson as much. Charlie, what did I say his name was? I said Manson. Charlie Manson, as much as he loves you. Which, by the way, is not less than what you're thinking. It's greater than what you think. God loves you so much. Richard Ramirez, that guy sent fear in our minds down in Orange County when he was on his killing spree. God loves him. But God hates what Charlie Manson is wearing. God hates what Richard Ramirez is wearing. God hates what we wear when it comes to our filthy rags of our self-attempts at righteousness and of doing good or even doing evil. God says, "I love you, but I hate the rags you're wearing, And those rags of sin and of unrighteousness have to be judged. So how does God do all this? You know what? It's shocking to find out this morning that God says in the Scriptures, He says it through Peter, He says, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's heart. So if you've got a concept of God wanting to fry people, it's not the God of the Bible. God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He says to us in the book of Isaiah, turn ye, turn, for why will you perish, saith the Lord? Turn from your way. This week at the health club, I was working out in Chino Hills. This guy comes up to me and he goes, are you a Christian? And I said, yeah. And he said, I'm sick of my life. I said, well, you know, I told him to kind of stay out of my way because I wanted to work out. No, I'm sorry. I just said, a lot of people are. And I said, God can give you a new life. He goes, you know, I've heard that. I've heard that you can have a personal relationship with God. I said, that's true. He goes, man. So do you go to church around town here? I said, yeah, here's how you get to this church. And I don't know if you're here. You could be here right now. I hope. How you doing? I didn't say, you know, I'm the pastor, come to this church. I didn't want to do that. And I, you know, didn't want to do that. And this guy says, well, I need a new life. And he went down there, I did this. Man, you need a new life like everybody else. And that's a beautiful thing. But God wants to deliver us from our past, no matter how good it might look to us, and give us a brand new future and eternal hope in Jesus Christ. So this morning we're going to look at two things. They're very, very simple. We're going to look at the encouragement that Paul gives them through the promises. And by the way, there are promises given to us. And then he's going to encourage them through prayer in verses 11 through 12. So in verses 5 through 10, he's going to encourage us with the promises. So let's go through this and see what he says. He says in verse 5, we touched on it last week, he says, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God. Well, what is? Well, verse 4 says that, so that we ourselves boast of you, Paul said, of the churches of God. Why? For your patience and your faith in all of your persecutions and your tribulations that you're enduring. The church of Thessalonica was being crushed by secular pressure. They were being mocked and ridiculed and ripped off. Great persecution. So Paul says in verse 5, hey, by the way, the attacks that are coming against you as a believer, hey, they are evidence that God's real and His judgment's coming. Well, how's that? This is kind of weird, but it's true. The Bible shows us in the Old Testament that we can go along through life and we are sinning and our sins begin to stack up. In fact, God says to one tribe of people, He says, no, not yet. We're not ready to judge them yet because their iniquity is not yet full. Isn't that strange? In each of our lives, some of us have sinned more than others. Some of us have done more wickedly than others. But when God looks at us, He says, I don't care if you've told a white lie or if you've murdered someone. It's all unrighteous. It's disgusting to me. God says it's one drop of poison in a clear, beautiful container of water. It's all poison now. Doesn't matter if it's 20 drops or one drop, it's all poison. See, you and I want to grade on a curve. I'm better than He is. Well, God says, none of you are any good. That's why you need my son Jesus. I love you dearly, but you need my son Jesus. It's very, very important. And that church was under attack. They felt like giving up. And as we touched on last week, the rumor was going around that they'd missed the rapture. There was a letter going around the church of Thessalonica that Jesus had come for the church and the hardship you're experiencing is in fact the great tribulation period. And they were like going crazy over this. They thought that God had promised them through Paul that they would escape the great tribulation period. And that's a beautiful reason why Paul wrote the book. But listen to this. He says that they might be counted worthy of the kingdom. Well, what does that mean? Don't get all excited about it. To be counted worthy doesn't mean you join Calvary Chapel. I mean, go ahead and try. You can't even join this church. There's no membership. If you want to be on the membership, you know, we'll probably sign a piece of paper and file it. There's no membership here. If you read the book of Corinthians, there's only one membership. That's becoming a believer in the body of Jesus Christ. Read it carefully. Well, do I have to tithe? Nope. How about nursery? I'm sure nursery, right? No. Clean the church? No. What do I have to do to become a member of this church? receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will baptize you in the body of Christ once and for all forever. That's how you become a member. Well, how do you become worthy? The book of Ephesians chapter 2, we're going through it on Wednesday nights. When you receive Jesus Christ, the moment you ask Him in, people have been doing it these last two services this morning, hopefully this service as well. They say yes to Jesus. That moment, Jesus Christ moves inside their heart and He sets up residence. He begins to throw couches out the window and magazines and cocktails and beer bottle and whatever's going on in your life. I mean, He's so cool. He moves in and He starts cleaning up. You don't have to sit there and do some penance or something. He does it. So great. He moves in. And when that happens, He begins to take over. And you, above all people, will be convinced that God is real because He's in your life and you know it. The Bible says these things were written that you might know that you have eternal life. Do you know it today? Do you know that? And so that's how you're worthy. You accept Christ, and now you are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and God stamps you holy, worthy, acceptable in the Beloved. And you're in there, not by doing anything of your own. That's a beautiful thing that He does for us. So He says here that we'd be counted worthy of God, worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. That was the reason for their persecution. They weren't being weird Christians, like, you know, throwing rocks at people with scripture wrapped around the rock and, you know, walking up and hitting people with their Bible. You've got to repent, man! No, that's just obnoxious. If you get knocked out for being like that, you probably deserve it, you know. These guys were being attacked for being godly people. Right on, people of the Lord. Love the Lord. Now look at verse 6. It says, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. This is a heavy verse, and a lot of people don't like it, people. A lot of people don't like this verse. The Bible says here, it's a righteous thing that God should repay those who do you evil. Think about it. The word righteous means it is right, it is just, it is holy, it is good. Aha! See, God is mean. No. Look at the word repay. This is cool. The word repay is to give you what you ask for, to give you according to your labor. You go around punching little old Christians and knocking them down on the crosswalk, and God is going to someday punch you and knock you down on the crosswalk. That's what the word repay means, to give you what you ask for, to give you what you're working for. Isn't that interesting? Hey, I'm doing this, now repay me. Okay, here's $20. That was the deal. And the guy walks away fine. The world says, repay me. And God says, okay, the wages of sin are death. And what do you think God does? Oh boy, got him now, little guy, I'm gonna smash him, just cringe him. Oh boy, that's gonna be such a pleasure. Just stop that little creep. He doesn't do that. It already says in the Bible, He weeps over the death of the wicked. But God's holy, remember, and He's loving. And He says to all of mankind, get away from your sin. Paul is telling these guys, this church, listen, those people who are coming against you, if things don't change, God is going to deal with them. And people, you can get on an airplane and go to any part of the world today. You can go to the deepest, darkest jungles of Los Angeles or Africa. And every man, woman, and child has a sense of right and wrong in their heart. I don't care who they are. You can go to the most, the most backward cultures in South or in Africa or in some remote areas of India, and they seem to be more civilized than we are now. They don't even have locks on their huts. They just lay down and go to sleep. Nobody, you don't kill somebody at night. You kill them in a war. You don't kill them at night while he's sleeping. They have a morality. It's amazing. But every culture in the world, there's this morality of the heart where this is right or this is wrong, and God knows. And man knows. And Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 1 that God has put His existence in the heart of every man and woman created. So that the little guy running around with his grass skirt knows about the eternal existence of God. He may worship gods or God. He may be off base in his worship. He may be wrong in his worship. But the Bible says that God has revealed himself to that little African guy running around who the Baptist missionaries never got to. God is speaking to him. And that man will be held accountable to the light that's been given to him. The thing is, right now in this sanctuary or in the hearing of this message, where are you at with Christ? What are you doing with him? And Paul says, these who are rejecting and pushing him away and coming against you, there is a day, if they continue in that state, that they will be judged. And God doesn't want to do it. You're making him do it. He doesn't want to. Now, this is interesting. We're going to dive in a little, and it might be kind of dry for you. I think it's kind of awesome. Is verse 7. You can take your pen and mark a big parenthesis around verse 7. The whole verse, a big parenthesis. Because, in fact, verse 7 is called in theology a parenthetical insert. Big name, big word. It means that, and it happens to us all the time. It means this. You might be talking to somebody, and you say, hey, Bob, this is where I want you to go. And I want you to go down there. Nice shirt. Anyway, turn left on Euclid. That was a parenthetical insert. Did you get it? Nice shirt. Paul does this right here. Watch and read along with me, verse 6. He says, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. You see how that flows? Verse 7, he just drops it right in, and it's an amazing thing, guys. Verse 7 is a reference to the rapture of the church. He says, oh, hey, by the way, to give you who are troubled rest. The word is leisure, rest, repose, relaxation with us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called When God Rewards. Thanks for listening, and be encouraged. God will bring fulfillment of all his good pleasure to those who believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. I want to tell you about our YouTube channel. Pastor Jack has over 500 videos on YouTube, lots of content there. Just go to YouTube and search Real Life with Jack Hibbs. You'll get updates there, some interviews, some clips from sermons, special online-only content, time-sensitive news updates, and entire sermons available. You know, sometimes you need just that right thing to say to the right person. Why don't you let Pastor Jack help you through that? Really, anything Pastor Jack wants to share with us online, right there at YouTube, all kinds of content. Go check that out. Also, have you got the app for your smartphone or tablet, the iOS or the Android app? It's called the Real Life app, and I'll tell you, it's a great thing to have when you want to connect with Real Radio. Just go to your app store and look for the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. And by the way, visit our website whenever you get a chance. You can go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You'll find everything there is related to this radio program right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Did you know that this ministry, by the way, is completely backed by you, the listeners? We don't mention that very often. And we thank you for your continued support. If you'd like to donate to this ministry, you can do that right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And let me throw this idea at you. You're strong in your faith, and you know all of us have been there at some point where we'd like to go tell a non-believer about what we believe. We feel strong in our faith, but we're not exactly sure how to share it. Well, Pastor Jack's got a great video that you can either watch yourself and learn from, or it's easy, just send it to an unbelieving friend. It's called Know God. All you got to do is go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Know God tab. It's right there, very easy to see at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You want to learn how to share your faith with someone? Maybe you need just a little bit of encouragement? That's the thing to do. Go check out the Know God tab at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's a video that you're really going to like. Also, one more thing before I let you go. Maybe you heard something on the program that sparked your interest, but you forgot to write it down, or maybe you're driving down the street. You don't want to write it down. Did you know if you miss any part of a program, you can catch up right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.